Beautiful people, this is Bonnie Gillespie, and you're listening to the Q&A MP3 that goes with SMFA Essentials, Be Your Own Publicist. So these questions are fantastic, and several of them come from inside the team of Ninja Angels at Team Cricket Feet, which is awesome because the questions are very well-informed and from a place of yes and I love that. So I'm pretty excited about this MP3. Let's jump right into it. Number one comes from Ninja Anna. Are there times when you don't want to start with local press for your first press kit? Or is that always the best place to start? Kind of like trimming your credits to show where you're going rather than where you are. Yeah, it's true. There comes a point when getting back home press isn't necessarily the best choice. However, it's an easy first target, and so it's one that I really like to recommend when you're starting out and you're trying to get quotes, you're trying to get press, you're trying to get something that, you know, shows you've jumped a tier. And just like everything else, you use inverted pyramid in the way that you list all the things in your marketing kit. And there comes a time when you stop using the things that are less useful. So yeah, there are absolutely times when you'll just say, going back home to my little small town paper and getting written up is not going to be as helpful as saying yes to this higher tier interview. But absolutely, when you're first starting out, it's a fantastic way to get some heat. And certainly that's a good thing. Ninja Amber has asked, how much should I expect to pay for a publicist starting out? Well, the range is $2,000 to $6,000 a month to have a publicist on retainer here in LA. In other markets, obviously, it would be lower. New York is probably in that ballpark as well. That's why a lot of publicists these days are offering a la carte services, because they do want to be able to make their services available to people who need them, who maybe aren't at a point where they're ready to take them on as full retainer publicists for all the deluxe services that are offered therein. But yeah, it's not cheap. It's not cheap at all. And, you know, it shouldn't be, because the amount of work they do is pretty ridiculous and awesome. Mary writes in a very long question here, so bear with me, guys, but it's good for the context. Is there such a thing as being too name droppy when trying to spin? How do you gauge who is a name worth spinning? So this might even end up being totally moot point for me in the present moment. Just finished a teeny part in a movie, and I'm not going to give her specific details, but she's like, yay, awesome stuff to spin. 2 weeks ago, totally stressed out about this question. I've done a bunch of short-term all-theater performances with some semi-recognizable names, and then she lists those. So if none of them are currently series regulars or starring in a cool indie, does it seem like a stretch? Or is it desperate to be like, I worked with this working actor you probably recognize by face and may or may not know by name? All of the directors of these pieces are up-and-comers like me, so I only had actor names to reference for a while, and especially because the one-day festivals were charity-raising performances, I went back and forth with how much of this to note in my resume, etc. Longest explanation of a question ever, Mary. Mary, it's a great question, and it's a quality problem. I mean, it's awesome to be in projects with people who are recognizable, but you're right. This isn't a name that you specifically used, but I use this example quite a bit. In most parts of the world, someone like William H. Macy is not a name actor. You use his name and someone goes, no, I have no idea. You show his picture around in places all over the world and people go, yeah, he looks familiar. Now, in major markets where entertainment is what we do and we're constantly producing the entertainment that people around the world are going to consume, William H. Macy's a huge name. He is somebody who can absolutely drop financing for indie projects just by his attachment. So what I want you to think about with this is what I call the qualified name. A qualified name is somebody who's not a name actor in most of the world. It's not somebody who's a name actor to consumers, but it's someone who within the business has such cred that there's no question that's a name actor. And so the people that you've listed are actually name actors if you go with the qualified name standard. So I would say, this is like everything else with self-management for actors, have different versions of your tools. And you're going to have one version of your bio, one version of your press kit that is available for people in the red states, let's say, for international press opportunities. You want to have something that's available to people that is a little more high profile consumer level stuff, which means a lot of these names won't mean something, but maybe photos of you with them on set would be, oh yeah, I know that guy. Oh, she's working with people I know, that sort of thing. And then have another version that is meant for higher tier press, people who are living and working in LA, New York, and so forth, that are putting together press and are absolutely aware of who the players are. Because there are going to be people, especially if you think about the buyers, casting directors, agents, managers, they're going to know who these people are. And so there is a place where you can use these names without it being a stretch. But I think this is a fantastic question, and it's one of my favorite answers, because the answer is it depends. And really, that's this world. It depends. But yes, I think you can have a couple different versions of your bio and press kit. So there's going to be one that uses these names and another that maybe doesn't, but talks about, you know, has worked with Emmy winners, Oscar winners, Oscar nominees, Tony nominees, you know, that sort of thing can actually be even more powerful than listing their names, perhaps. So just when you're looking at your spin, come at it from a different angle. I think you may come up with some really great ideas. Anna Vo helped me with this one, and I love this question. A lot of times I have to sign NDAs before I even audition for a high-profile movie or video game. I can't see the sides until I get there, and then they take them away. I'm always scared I'm going to be violating my NDA. NDA, guys, for those who don't know, is a non-disclosure agreement. You basically are signing a confidentiality agreement, a non-disclosure agreement, before you even audition, and certainly before you get on set. This is happening more and more. Anyway, so Anna goes on here. I'm scared I'm going to be violating my NDA if I post a picture or if I tweet from set. I don't want to get in trouble, but how do I make the most of these bookings in my self-PR? I love this question, and it is such a huge issue, and it's something that, especially in this day and age, we really do have to consider. If you have signed an NDA, if you have agreed that you will not disclose the details of the project, guys, I work as a hand model, and I had an audition for iPad before the iPad came out, and I had to sign ridiculous numbers of pages saying that I was not going to broadcast what this piece of technology was that I was going to be interacting with for the sake of the audition with my hands. I mean, it just happens. And it's because the stakes are very high for especially commercial products, but also these video games, these high profile TV series, films, things that are part of a franchise that are, you know, very classified in tone. An NDA is a part of the reality. Here's where I like a spin that is a little on the mystique tip, if we want to look at Sally Hogshead's Fascinate, which is a wonderful book. If total aside here on this week's MP3, but you probably want to grab that. Sally Hogshead, Fascinate. Mystique is a trigger that actually gets people fascinated in the subject of whatever it is that's being used with mystique. And so the idea behind it is you could tweet something like, I can't wait till I can share with you guys this amazing project that I'm working on. Because you can say you booked an amazing project, you just can't disclose the details. You can't tweet a picture from set because the set is classified and locked down and things are obviously outside of the scope of what they want out on the internet. But you can say something cool has happened and I can't wait to be able to share it with you guys, because then there will be a date where you can share it. And so there is a way to get the publicity from the buzz that exists before you can actually disclose what it is that you're working on. And so I would just consider coming at it from that angle. Here's a great question. Celebs obviously get their clothes loaned or donated. I can't afford to buy new things all the time, but I don't want to be the girl with the tags still on at the event because that's not on brand. Would you recommend using places like renttherunway.com and their concierge service. Are there similar places that can help with rentals or donations, both for one-time events, but also for a few days and events if, say, I was going to rep my film at a film fest like Tribeca or so forth? This is a fantastic question. Renttherunway.com is a fantastic resource. And so I'm really glad that you brought this up specifically because, I mean, it's just so good. Yeah, the truth is that you're going to be on runways with people who have had, you know, $1,000 dresses donated or suits that were, you know, tailored and custom made for them, and jewelry and handbags and shoes and you name it, and amazing ties. There are going to be all these beautiful things on the runway. Your goal is not to try and outdo, because obviously people at the highest tier have a whole set of tools that you may not have access to yet. But yes, renttherunway.com is great. Also resources like there are companies out there that will sell or loan out or rent out or do on consignment pieces of clothing that were used in movies or TV shows. And I want to say, it's just on the tip of my tongue. It is Play It Again, I think, is a wonderful resource. Play It Again, clothing. And they will actually take things that were on set and then sell them or rent them for a rerun. Or conversely, things that were on famous people on red carpets get donated in here and then can be bought or loaned out for other use. And so there are some really fantastic ways on a budget to get to wear some pretty exciting things. Remember to go back to that article that I included in the PDF from Helena, where she talked about rocking the red carpet, gave some fantastic tips in her POV the Actor's Voice over at Actors Access, gave fantastic tips for how you can rock the red carpet. There are some really wonderful tips that she gives for people who are doing the DIY approach, and that includes things like going vintage. And then when someone asks, oh, who are you wearing? Who are you wearing? I think her specific tip was you say, oh, it's vintage, or my stylist just picked it out for me. I'm sorry, I didn't get the name of the designer. So a lot of the spin you have to do is easy to do if you've come up with a strategy before you get on the red carpet and are asked questions about what it is that you're wearing. I like that question a whole lot. How would you use newscalendar.com? It's intriguing. I see all those events. How do you parlay that into a networking opportunity? How do we use our connections to get these events and create a publicity opportunity? Yeah, some of these events are going to be invitation only, and you're going to have a rep, whether that's an agent, a manager, a lawyer, a publicist, somebody who actually gets you invited to the event. But there are others where an invitation is not required. Being able to look through and see what the RSVP protocol is just part of your homework. When you're surfing through these events, look up press releases. Don't just go by what's on these calendars, but actually then Google the event. Get some information about who's sponsoring it. Find out what the venue is. And just start pulling together your ninja skills, call around, look in your show Bible, look at the people that you already have relationships with and see where they may intersect with people who are a part of these events that you most want to attend. And I'm really serious, guys, if you go back a year on these calendars and take a look at what was going on with this event last year, what was going on with this film festival last year, you will see exactly who it is that you need to intersect with to have a really fantastic opportunity to attend some of these events. And then, you know, how do you turn that into a publicity opportunity? At first, you're just going there. You're going and you're studying. And don't pick the hardest one first. Go to the little film festivals. Go to opening night of a local film festival, not because you have a film playing, but because just watching people on the step and repeat, seeing people go through the press line, listening to the way people answer questions, and being a fly on the wall, lurk then lead, guys, you will learn so much. And then if you see somebody who's clearly handling people and making sure that press goes to them and asks them questions, introduce yourself to that person, not when they're in the thick of it, but as the screening begins and suddenly they have a little more downtime because that pre-screening juggernaut of all the press that's going on has died down, and just say, I'm really interested in what it is that you do. Here's my card. I would love it if we could stay in touch. I got some questions. Could I pick your brain? Can I take you to lunch? Do you do a la carte services? Like, this is the opportunity to intersect with people who do this all the time, and to do so with the agenda of learning, because first, that is your goal. Learn, 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 learn. Finally, this is another one that my ninja Anna sent my way. Media training. Is this like people teaching you to pose properly, create those great sound bites? Is it something that, like, with a PR person that you could pay for a la carte? Yeah, absolutely. Media training is something that you can hire people who work in hosting. You can absolutely hire people who are publicists who also do media training. Nelson Aspen and Kristen Burt, both of whom are my cohorts in Hollywood Happy Hour, which is a group that we founded in, 2002, I think. They both have done media training, and it's a fantastic service. And you need to take a look at people whose style you appreciate when you watch what they do on the red carpet, and then reach out to them and say, how much for media training? Or certainly there are, you know, websites out there for people who are offering media training as a service. I think Suzanne Senna does it. There are so many people out there who do media training, and it is a la carte. It's very much like craft coaching, where you can go in and say, I'm just working on this one scene for an audition, and let me hire you for an hour to get myself ready for this experience. It's very similar to that. Certainly, you can do ongoing media coaching as well, but really, it is results-oriented, and it is about, like, I have this event right now, and I need to get up to speed on how to best take advantage of that. Guys, these questions were fantastic, and thank you to my Ninja Angels for coming in with some great ones as well. Really appreciate you guys for sending these in and being a part of this interactive module for SMFA Essentials. Be your own publicist. Guys, y'all rock. Thank you, and we will do this again next month. Cannot wait. Till then, stay ninja. Mwah.